Hi friends, this is Ravikant, Ravikant Miriala. Yeah, let us start with accounting standard 20, that is earnings per share. Yeah, the other standards audio lectures are available in my website in download page. The website name is ravikantmiriala.com. Yeah, see earnings per share, this is a disclosure standard and there will be computation. Where do you present it? We'll be presenting it in the, on the face of P&L. Yeah, after the net profit after tax, you will see EPS, that is basic EPS and diluted EPS. And the computation information should be provided in the notes to financial statements. Yes, my dear. Now, let us get into the first point, basic EPS. Basic EPS is simpler compared to diluted. Anyhow, basic EPS is nothing but net profit or loss attributable to equity shareholders divided by weighted average number of equity shares outstanding during the period. Observe the word outstanding during the period, not on the balance sheet date. Yeah, if some share is there for 3 months, then you are supposed to take the weighted average of the 3 months time. Okay, right. Next, net profit or loss means what? Net profit or loss is after deducting the tax expenditure. Tax expenditure includes current tax and deferred taxation. Both tax you are supposed to cut it. Next, profit or loss from the exceptional item, extraordinary item, prior period items, and even preference dividend also are supposed to reduce it. With respect to preference dividend, if it is a cumulative preference share capital, you have to reduce the preference dividend whether or not it is declared by the company. Yeah, if it is a non-cumulative preference share capital, you should reduce it from the net profit only if it is declared by the AGM. That you need to keep it into account. Keep it in mind. All other income and expenditure is also supposed to be reduced, right? So here they can try to mention different type of expenditure to confuse you. Just don't try to be confused in this matter, right? Next point is weighted average number of equity shares outstanding. Yeah, here there are two methods are available, my dear. One is transaction based method, another one is balance based method. In case of transaction based method, from the date of transaction, you have to calculate the number of days or number of months from the date of transaction to 31st March. Balance sheet date you are supposed to calculate. In case of balance method, first you are supposed to calculate number of equity shares after every transaction. First you have to calculate. Then number of days will be computed from opening balance to next transaction. Next transaction to that next transaction. That next transaction to till the balance sheet. Like that, one transaction to another transaction, how many number of days or months are supposed to be computed. Yeah, here one more important point. If the shares are issued for cash, you are supposed to take the date on which cash is receivable or received. Okay, yeah, if the equity shares are issued because of conversion of debentures, then you are supposed to consider the date of conversion as per the prospectus. Yeah, if the shares are issued on you in lieu of interest or principal, correct, the date from where interest is stopping to accrue, that should be considered. Next, for the settlement of a liability, you have issued the equity shares, then you are supposed to take the date for the date of settlement or date agreed upon. Yeah, if you are issuing for other than cash consideration, the asset received is recognized in the books of account. Yeah, for rendering the services, right? So when the services are rendered, that date should be considered. See, my dear, date is important. If you have taken a wrong date, then automatically number of days will be different. Number of days are different means automatically your answer is wrong. Next, carefully listen. Amalgamation in the nature of purchase, then the date of acquisition of the subsidiary you are supposed to take it. And if it is amalgamation in the nature of merger, you are supposed to take 1/4, even though merger took place on 30th 6, but for the number of shares, even though issued on 30th 6, but you are supposed to take it on 1/4, because P&L is prepared as if the merger is happened on 1/4. That is the reason
you have to take 1/4, my dear, not on the date of merger exactly. Next, if the company has different nominal value or different class of shares, that is rupees 5, rupees 10, something like that, different class of shares are there, then you have to convert into equivalent number of any one class. You are supposed to first convert into equivalent number of shares of any class. And subsequently, after calculating the EPS, you have to mention very clearly, this is the EPS for, say example, rupees 10 is the EPS for 10 rupees per share. And then obviously 10 rupees per share, 10 rupees is the EPS means, then 5 rupees will be for 5 rupees share. At the same time, if it is a partly paid up shares are there. Yeah, if it is a partly paid up shares also, you are supposed to convert into all partly paid up shares in, should be convertible into equivalent number of fully paid shares. Then you are supposed to calculate the information, right? The second point, calculation, I mean, say in case of bonus shares, in case of share split, in case of share consolidation, and even in case of rights issue, my dear, one point has to be considered. In all these things, number of shares may be going up and down, but amount is not receiving, amount is not paid. That's why in all these circumstances, even though bonus shares are issued in the middle of the current year or during the current year, you are supposed to assume that these bonus shares have been issued in the beginning of the previous year. You are supposed to assume that it is issued in the beginning of the previous year. Then, since you are assuming it is in the beginning of the previous year, our previous year EPS is going to be restated, because I am changing the number of shares. Automatically, previous year number of shares are going to be restated. Remember this point. Okay, right. And with respect to right shares, what happens, you know, you are supposed, there are two formulas, my dear. Remember the formula and you are supposed to reproduce in the examination, obviously, as it is. Yeah, first one is what? Theoretical ex-rate value per share you are supposed to calculate. What is the theoretical ex-rate value? Fair value of the shares which are outstanding just before the rights issue, plus amount collected on rights issue divided by total number of shares, that is before the rights issue plus new shares issued on rights. Everything should be taken into account. This is theoretical ex-rate value. Next, you are supposed to calculate bonus factor. Yeah, bonus factor is nothing but fair value of the share before rights issue. Fair value of the share before rights issue, okay, divided by this theoretical ex-rate value what you have calculated. Yeah, sir, what should I do with this bonus factor? Bonus factor, you should apply it on, you should be multiplying the bonus factor with the opening number of equity shares of the previous year. I repeat once again, bonus factor should be multiplied with the opening number of equity shares at the beginning of the previous year, right? Say my totally I am issuing 1 lakh equity shares, but bonus factor has come to 25,000 rupees, 25,000 shares extra. That means out of 1 lakh right shares issue, 25,000 shares are issued for free and the 75,000 shares are issued for consideration. That is what you have to understand. That's it about basic EPS. Let's get into the diluted EPS. Before getting into diluted EPS formula, first thing you have to learn about the definition, potential equity share. A potential equity share is an instrument, or it may be a contract, which has the potentiality to get an equity share to the holder of the instrument. I repeat, it is an instrument or an agreement, okay, which has the potentiality to get an equity share, which has the potentiality to get the equity share to the holder of the agreement. Okay, right. What is diluted EPS formula? Yeah, that is net profit or loss attributable to equity shareholders after giving the effect of potentially diluted equity share divided by weighted average number of equity shares. Again, here also, after giving the effect of potentially diluted equity share only should be taken into account. Okay, next. Suppose if it is, say, convertible debenture. Yeah, if you say convertible debenture, my dear, if the convertible debentures are already converted, if the convertible debentures are already converted on the date of issue, then what would have been my profit? That profit should be taken in the numerator divided by my normal shares plus the number of shares on conversion, how many number of shares you would have issued. No, that number also you are supposed to take it. Just for understanding, numerator may what do you take? Whatever the amount you used it for the basic EPS plus the interest amount minus the tax on the interest amount. Okay, divided by the old, whatever you used it for the basic EPS, that number of shares plus the number of shares that will be issued in the future on conversion should be taken into account. Diluted EPS means obviously your number should be lower than the basic EPS. If it is lower than the EPS, means yes, it is dilutive. No, sir, this number has come more than the basic EPS. Then that means that convertible debenture is not dilutive. It is anti-dilutive equity share. Okay. If it is anti-dilutive, my dear, you are not supposed to consider that. That means you assume that there is no such convertible debenture in the balance sheet. That's it. That means under that circumstance, what will happen? Whatever is my basic EPS, same number will become the diluted EPS. Yeah. Same thing will happen even with respect to preference shares. Yeah. With respect to preference shares, what will happen? Numerator will be basic numerator plus preference dividend will come. Now there is no concept of corporate dividend tax. So ignore it. Yeah. Whatever the numerator used for basic EPS plus the preference dividend which you have deducted, that will be added back, divided by the total number of shares even after converting the preference shares. And the next topic about this last topic, I should say, the options, that is employee stock options, any option to issue our shares at a cheaper price. Remember, if you are going to issue the shares in the future at a market value, then there is no dilution at all. If you are going to issue at a cheaper rate, that is less than the fair market value, that will have a dilution impact. Yeah, in this case, what are you supposed to do? Yeah, for the numerator of basic, you will not be adding anything, divided by denominator of basic, you are supposed to take as it is, plus the shares which are to be issued for no consideration, you are supposed to take it. The shares which are to be issued for no consideration. Sir, how do you calculate for no consideration? Very simple. What is the total amount you are going to collect it? Divided by fair market value of the share, you take it. Then you will get, say, 75,000 shares will come. But actually, number of shares you are issuing is 1 lakh. So 75,000 shares are going to be issued for cash, and the balance 25,000 shares are going to be issued for no consideration. This 25,000 shares only should be added to denominator. Next, options are called as highly dilutive potential equity shares, because numerator you are not adding even single rupee, denominator you may be adding some number of shares for sure, then automatically basic EPS number is going to fall down. That's why it is highly dilutive potential equity share. If you like this, please share this with your friends. Let this be useful to the maximum number of students. Wish you the best, my dear.